In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Before we can look at St. Barnabas, it might help if we spend a little time at least thinking about the word apostle. Apostle in English comes to us from the language of the New Testament, of course, where it's apostolos. But the Greek word simply means something, or someone rather, who is sent. But it also implies, however, being sent with authority, not just a message, but being sent with authority. Perhaps the only modern equivalent might be ambassador, perhaps. Now, this was not a title casually thrown about in the early days of the church. We know, of course, the 12 were named apostles by Jesus himself. And after the defection and the death of Judas Iscariot, the 12 met and selected Matthias to replace Judas. But in the book of Acts, Luke describes the conversion and calling of Saul of Tarsus as an apostle. And we hear about the ministries of Paul with Barnabas, also called an apostle, although we don't get to hear directly about his commissioning as an apostle. In our Anglican Catholic liturgy, we have a different preface for a number of different things. One of those describes in detail the role and mission of apostles. And you'll hear that later on this morning, and I encourage you to listen closely to those words as Father Paul prays them. In Scripture and tradition, we know that the early apostles, everyone, completed his earthly ministry as a martyr for the faith. Everyone except, of course, John. But this isn't John's day. His feast falls on the third day of Christmas, so you have to wait a while to hear about John. But there's another word, usage of the word apostle, when we think about the role of the episcopate. We think of our bishops as apostles in our midst, commissioned and sent to oversee particular areas of Christ's one holy Catholic and apostolic church, as we just got done professing in the creed. But back to Barnabas. His name, we're told, means son of consolation or son of encouragement. As an encourager, he was a faithful companion and supporter of the Apostle Paul, who, by all accounts in the New Testament, may not have been the best or easiest person to work with. He played a crucial role in Paul's acceptance by the early Christian community, easing their doubts and their fears about the man who went from being the biggest persecutor to the biggest proponent, nearly overnight, as it would have seemed to the early church. Barnabas saw the potential in Paul, whom Jesus himself appeared to and transformed his life and his mind. We are also called to be encouragers, as Barnabas, in our faith communities, to uplift and affirm one another's gifts and callings, knowing that each of us has a vital role to play in God's plan. Well, the first that we hear about Barnabas is in the fourth chapter of Acts, where we're told that he sold a field that he owned and gave the proceeds to the apostles to distribute to those in need. His act of giving demonstrated his deep love for God and his desire to help those less fortunate. St. Barnabas also fostered reconciliation and unity within the early Christian community. He saw past the differences between Jew and Gentile, and focused instead on their common mission of spreading the gospel. And of course, Barnabas vouched for Saul's conversion, leading to his acceptance among the disciples. Today, in a church and a world that's filled with division, we would do well to follow Barnabas' example, seeking unity and peace within the body of Christ, reaching across all the barriers that we erect between us. No picture of Barnabas, however, would be complete without looking at his work as a fervent evangelist, sharing the message of salvation with boldness and passion. He and Paul embarked on missionary journeys, proclaiming the love of Christ. His commitment to spreading the good news reminds us of our own responsibility to be witnesses of the gospel in our daily lives. On the cover of this morning's bulletin, you see a painting of St. Barnabas. I had planned to bring my bulletin up, but I was going to go. But of course, I left it back there. An odd feature of that picture is the flame. And in his left hand, you'll see he's holding what we know from the writings about him is the Gospel of Matthew. And in his right hand is flame. Now, he's not getting ready to burn the Gospel of Matthew. The reason for that flame, which is not over his head as we might expect, but rather it's in his hand, is to be a reference to his martyrdom, how he was dragged into a fire by those that were opposing his preaching in Cyprus. We would do well to follow Barnabas' lead, not holding fire, but seizing opportunities to share our faith, offering hope and encouragement to those who are lost in searching for meaning. Here at St. George the Martyr, we regularly offer the Holy Sacrifice for those who are seeking Christ's church. Something else you'll be hearing in a minute. In this morning's gospel, we hear Christ giving the commandment that we love one another. Yet, knowing our human frailties, Jesus added, "As I have loved you." Our Christian love for one another is to be marked not just by an emotion, but by that same self-sacrificial spirit that Jesus showed for us. Remember that in the New Testament, the word love, just like the word faith, is not about feelings or thinking, it's about action. And in the case of love, it's wishing and acting for the best of others, not some feeling that we can conjure up in our hearts or our minds. Humans are really good at conjuring up feelings, which is one of the big problems with the modern world. What better can we do for somebody than to bring them into the Church of Christ? As we commemorate St. Barnabas today, we should take care to celebrate his life and his ministry, and not just because it only comes around once every dozen or so years. Actually, it comes around every 7 or so years, but the last time it came around, it conflicted with Trinity Sunday. And as you heard about the tables of precedence, Trinity trumps Barnabas. So we should take care to celebrate his life and his ministry, following his example of encouragement, generosity, reconciliation, and evangelism, fearlessly proclaiming the good news that God himself came into his creation in order to give himself for us. And there can be no better message than that. To God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory now and forever, world without end.